Eagles get another nail-biting win under the lights Sunday night against the Giants. We're going to recap that victory and welcome in star cornerback Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Talk about his interception. Get settled in. Eagles game plan starts right now. Welcome to Eagles Game Plan. I'm Brian Baldinger, joined by Mike Quick and Ike Reese. Let's talk about this game against the Giants here, Mike, because really, I thought a huge factor was the Eagles did not turn the ball over. What a difference that made in the game.
Oh, that's such a key. You know, when Michael Vick throws the ball 30 times, he had 19 completions in that 30 tosses, but no turnovers, didn't put the ball on the ground. Whenever this team can avoid turnovers, they're going to be in every ball game and with the chance to win.
Ike, you were a special teams captain, you know, for a long time here in Philadelphia. So when you look at the kickoff coverage, concern right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely concerned, Baldy. I look at this team, two things I see lacking. Speed on the kickoff coverage, okay, which is a bare essential. You must have that. And also lane discipline. Mm-hmm. What I'm seeing with the Eagles kickoff coverage team is they're running down the field sometimes, not at full speed, but even worse, they're getting out of their lanes, which is opening up big lanes for returners.
I was most impressed, really, by the defense. Because Eli Manning came in as one of the hottest quarterbacks in this league. He threw it 42 times. You hold that offense with Victor Cruz and Eli Manning to 17 points, you're going to give yourself a chance to win the game. I was really impressed by the overall defensive effort. And I thought, Mike, the whole defense came together. Yeah. The rush, the coverage, the play of the linebackers, Jamar Chaney making a start. I really thought it came together. And then, really, I think maybe the biggest surprise for everybody was they came out in the second half, Mike, I formation. They said, we're going to run the ball.
Well, they committed to running the football, and that's the key. But once they make that commitment, they're effective running the football, it opens up so many other things for this offense.
Mike, we talked about the big adjustment. At halftime last week, the Eagles went to I formation. They said, we're going to run the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And they did.
Yep. Now, committed to running.
Well, let's take a look at 94 Boss, no secret.
Yep.
Because this was a successful play for him. And let's see what the design of the play is, because it's pretty simple. Because if you freeze it here, when they get this seal between Celek and Harriman's here, they're basically cutting the defense in half. They've pinned Justin Tuck inside. They've pinned the linebackers inside. And now the key right here, Mike, is there's Michael Bull on the outside.
Absolutely. You know, they get a nice seal, and then it's just a matter of Stanley Avili putting on the big boy shoulder pads, rooting out that linebacker, and you've got a big alley on the outside.
You got an alley. And what I like about Avili, Mike, in his game is he runs through the linebacker. He actually lifted Michael Boley off his feet on that play, but they just stayed with it, Mike. I mean, it's just the same play right here, but really a different blocking scheme where they block Celek down, sure, and they take block Harriman's around, and they lead with Havili attacking the same part of the defense.
Well, you're getting basically the same results. You're going to seal the outside, and then it's up to the fullback, Stanley Havili, to come through and clear the space.
It cleared up. So here it is. You see this play. You're going to see Celek blocking down here on Michael Boley. You freeze it. Boom. All right, again, they've cut this defense, and now you've got the lead back here on Prince Amukamara,
yep,
who doesn't seem to want any part of this play. You know, all backs like to have a clean vision of where that hole is, and now you get Shady on the outside, and the only hope you have is that safety to come over the top. He's going to make him miss one-on-one in the open field. He's going to finish this run. I think he was gassed there, Mike.
Well, you know, you run that play two times in a row, and yeah, you have tremendous success. And, you know, it all starts with sealing that outside. And when they're able to seal the outside, you get a good block out on the edge, and then it's off and running for Shady.
And then what that does, Mike, is obviously play action off of that right now. So here's a play that you really like, Mike, where,
yeah,
it's a spread formation. It's a three wide receiver set. But they're going to get Celek on a cross here, off of play action fake here to LeSean McCoy.
Baldy, I asked for this play because I want to show the effect that the run game has on the passing game. Watch these linebackers. And Brent Celek knows as soon as the ball is snapped, the steps that this linebacker takes, he only has to then work off of the safeties. The linebackers are beaten. He's got to work off the safeties, find the open, and there's a huge opening there for Celek.
But let's face it. I mean, when LeSean's running for 20 yards at a crack like Mike, those linebackers' first move has got to be up.
That's
up
right.
To stop the run right
That's
there.
Right.
And you get them to bite up, it opened up that huge hole on the backside to Brent Celek. Here it is from the end zone. It really kind of shows it right here because I think the line helps sells this, Mike, make it really look like it's run action right there. I mean, you got a power here. You got Watkins coming around. Humanor is bracing. Both linebackers step up. Look at that nice hole. I mean, Mike's not going to miss those throws, Mike.
This is not rocket science. When you're effective in the run game, it's going to open up the play action passing.
So the run game sets up the passing game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it does. Okay. It's obvious, Dominic, you just came straight from the practice field here to join us. We really appreciate it. But let's look at a couple plays from Sunday.
Yes, sir.
It's no joke when you get zero coverage. You're man-to-man against Victor Cruz.
Right.
Tell me a couple things that you're thinking about and looking at on the play that you're going to break down.
Well, on this play right here, we're man-to-man coverage. You can see me right here. No inside help. So basically, I want to stay inside leverage.
Okay.
When the guy comes here in motion out, I tend to jump outside.
Okay.
And on this play, you know, it's a full-out blitz, so you're expecting pressure to get there. You're expecting it to get fast.
Right.
With a guy like this, you got to be patient. And when the play rolls, he comes off, and he stutters and paws me. You can see I get in my feet. I get flat-footed. And once I get flat-footed, he takes off. It's just pitch and catch from there.
Yeah, but then the real chase is on.
The real chase is on.
Because you ain't letting them score, Dominic.
Yes, sir.
I mean,
yes,
you're going to do whatever you can right there to make sure and make them earn that touchdown.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that is just a question of speed, and here it is right now. No safety in the middle of the field. That's you and him.
Yes, sir. Just catch it from now.
Manning under center is back. He's looking. He is firing, and it is intercepted. Intercepted by Rogers Cromartie. Coming out of the end zone to the 5 and pushed out at the 7. There's the first turnover of the game, and DRC made it happen.
So you save the touchdown there, Dominic, and so we get later in the series, and they get into a bunch formation. You can either man a bunch formation, or you can zone it. On this play here, you zone the bunch formation.
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit of what you're looking at.
Main thing I'm looking at is this guy right here. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's the only speed guy.
That's Cruz.
That's Cruz, and he's the only guy that can really hurt me. You know, tight ends tend to be slower. I know that my linebacker right here, he's taking the first to the flat.
Okay.
And then you have Miko. He's the second guy inside, taking the curl and anything comes across. And me and Nate, he's basically playing 2-on-2. I'm outside, he's inside.
Right. So it's a 2-by-2 zone. So now as the play starts here, Dominic, you're back and you're just reading the quarterback's eyes and you're expanding.
I'm expanding.
You're wide and you're deep right now.
Yes, sir.
So now the ball's thrown. I don't think Eli sees you.
No, because if you look at the play before when they were in the goal line, they ran the same thing to this side.
Yep.
But we was in
man-to-man.
And I actually jumped the out by Victor Cruz. And if you look on film, the 7 was open. So they came right back to it and tried to run it on the other side.
All right, so you get your third interception here, Dominic.
Yes, sir.
And you're coming out.
Yes, sir.
You're always coming out.
I'm always coming out.
Because you can score.
Yes, sir, I believe that.
You've been practicing here, getting ready for the game plan for the Steelers. What do you see from this offense of the Steelers?
You know, I see an offense that's going to come in and just be the big bully on the block. They're going to come in and pound the ball. They have a running game. And with Ben Roethlisberger being a bigger quarterback, he tends to extend the play and the receivers just get open. And they got some guys that can go deep. So the main thing is just stop the deep ball and come in and play physical.
Well, thanks for joining us here today, Dominic. Thanks for the insight breaking down the plays.
Yes, sir.
Good luck this week. When we come back, we'll break down more of the Pittsburgh Steelers here on Eagles Game Plan. Eagles Game Plan is brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Sports Authority for all things sporting good. And by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan, and this is a part of the show I really enjoy because I get to bring in senior producer from NFL Films, Greg Cosell. And Greg, we talk to you every week, and this week, you know, they're going to see an elite quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger who's different than the elite quarterback that we saw last week in Eli Manning. And I kind of want to get into the differences and the problems that Ben produces here in the way that he likes to play the game.
Well, let's start, Baldy, with how the Eagles like to play, because I think that's critical. We know what they like to do defensively. They like to play press man, have their corners win early in the down by disrupting routes. Mm-hmm. So what that does is it forces the quarterback to hold the ball just for a beat longer, and then their predominant four-man pass rush gets there. So that works very well against purely pocket quarterbacks, quarterbacks that like to go through reading progressions.
It like Eli Manning last week.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, of course, Eli's a great player, so he does have some success, but it impacts a pocket quarterback. Now you get to Roethlisberger. And what's Roethlisberger's game? Roethlisberger's game is extending the play and not running around like a Michael Vick, not the same kind of play extension, but using the pocket. And there's a great example of what he does. Uh-huh. And granted, it's against the Oakland Raiders, but that's not the point. The point is the principle. Yep. Ben will drop back to throw here, and he's going to be looking in the slot for Emmanuel Sanders, okay, who's working, I believe, against Yoselio Hansen, who we all know from Philadelphia. Yeah. Now what happens is, the rush isn't great initially, but then there's late pressure, but Ben moves to his left. Now, before he throws the ball, he's Baldy in the pocket for 5 seconds. You can't
play
man-to-man.
That's like two lifetimes. That's two lifetimes for a defensive back.
Exactly. You can't play man-to-man, no matter how good you are in your secondary, for 5 seconds. And he ends up hitting Sanders, running across the field. Beautiful throw, moving to his left. That's what Ben does. So it'll be interesting to me, and I'm curious how you feel about this, do the Eagles stay as consistently with this man-to-man press approach? And the other factor is you got Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown. If you miss your press against those guys, they run by you, and those are big plays.
Well, those are very dangerous receivers after the catch, Greg, as we all know, because we've seen the evidence on film every single week from these guys. But the one thing that's interesting to me about Ben is he is their max protection because of his ability to escape, his ability to ward off basically defensive linemen, bigger and stronger guys than him. He can still stay in the pocket. He can still hang. It's almost impossible to get him to the ground. And so they have no fear putting five receivers out and not going max protection because he has that ability to extend that play.
Right. And the thing is, when you're playing press man, there's a timing to it. And it's what we just talked about. There's a belief that the quarterback, essentially, after 3 seconds, you win defensively. If you can make the quarterback hold the ball for 3 seconds or longer, you're going to win. That paradigm does not necessarily work against Roethlisberger. So I'd be real curious to see if the Eagles play a little more zone this week or a little more combination coverages where it's not just pure press. Because the other factor is, I don't know how you feel about it, I think Antonio Brown is very close to being one of the top 6 or 7 receivers in this league.
Well, you know, they also run a lot of bunch formations. And last week against the Giants, we saw them man the bunch. We saw them zone the bunch. And so I think the bigger point is you got to change it up. You can't show Ben Roethlisberger one style of defense, play to play to play, because they're going to beat that eventually.
Now, the Steelers do have some of the fastest, most dynamic receivers in the NFL. But one place they're not getting it done is in the running game. With Rashard Mendenhall injured in the first 3 games of the season, the Steelers had one of the worst rushing attacks in the NFL. The Steelers averaged just 2.6 yards per carry this season. That's the worst total in the NFL, and it is, in fact, inflated. Many of their longest runs have come on Ben Roethlisberger scrambles or in end-arounds by their wide receivers. 4 different running backs have carried the ball in Mendenhall's absence. Jonathan Dwyer, South Jersey's own Isaac Redman, Chris Rainey, and Baron Batch. But they've combined to average just 2.4 yards per carry. How bad is it? The Steelers only have 3 runs this season that were longer than 10 yards, and they have no runs that were longer than 15 yards. On the flip side, they were stuffed for no gain or a loss on 16 of their rushes this season. That's over a quarter of their running plays. The Steelers are not running the football in any situation. They average just 2.9 yards per carry on first down, then an anemic 1.6 yards per carry on second down. Their lack of a rushing game puts them into a lot of third and long situations. Rushing effectively is most crucial in the red zone, but here once again the Steelers are having problems. They average just 2.1 yards per carry inside opponents' 20-yard line. And in the red zone this season, they've handed off 14 times, but come away with just 1 touchdown.
All right, let's Riverside the script and let's get to the Steelers defense, because I think when they saw Arizona a couple weeks ago, Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator of Arizona, came from Pittsburgh, and he brings very similar style of play. And so in this game against Arizona 2 weeks ago, you're going to see in this play right here, both inside linebackers, Darrell Washington and Paris Lennon, up in the A-gaps, kind of sugaring there a little bit. Are they coming, not coming? Making the Eagles' protection really be pinpoint perfect.
And this is where the communication, Baldy, has to be pressed in between the center, the 2 guards, and the quarterback. Who's responsible for protecting these A-gaps?
And with the quarterback under center, this is the way it should have been blocked. They should block down and squeeze it and leave the outside guy free for Mike Vick. They don't do that. So there's a little communication breakdown, and the result is Darrell Washington comes free. And, Mike Vick turning his back to it, it's a pretty easy sack for Washington and Sam Acho on that play. Now, if we look at the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, Here they were against the New York Jets. Very similar. You're going to see A-gap blitz right here from both linebackers sitting in there. Who's coming? Who's not coming? Really test your protection.
Yeah. And where who to pick up is the first responsibility on a play like this. Okay, you see the back picks up Lawrence Timmons there. They have this thing squared off. But here's the problem. As you let the play run,
yeah.
The second part of this is the receivers have to recognize the blitz as well. You don't get a hot route here from Santonio Holmes.
Yeah.
Good cornerback there, almost picks that off, and it could be going the other way for six if the receivers aren't on the same page with the quarterback and the lineman as far as protection.
So their Hall of Fame defense coordinator, Dick LeBeau, he loves this blitz. It's called the fire zone. One linebacker's coming this way. Lawrence Timmons is coming right behind it. They're trying to get one of those guys free. It's something the Eagles have seen every time they've seen Pittsburgh, and you can bet they're going to see it this week.
And it's confusion. They want to get you to pass off a guy or stay on a guy and free someone up. They want a mismatch between the running back and Lawrence Timmons coming in. You're talking about a guy that's 6'4", 250 pounds.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough job for Shady to have to block him one-on-one.
The Jets do a good job of picking this up now. Now, the other part is you got to complete the pass, and the Steelers play sticky coverage behind it. These are a couple things that we should expect from the Steelers defense, Ike. And when we come back, we're going to talk about who we think might be the MVP of the Eagles season at the quarter pole when we return on Eagles Game Plan. Welcome back to Eagles Game Plan. And after the Giants' victory, the Eagles are 3-1 at the quarter pole. And so let's just have a little discussion here. Like, let's start with you about who your MVP after the first quarter of the season is.
I got to tell you, it's the prize acquisition of the offseason. They traded for a middle linebacker, a leader, a captain, and that's exactly what they've got in the first four games of the season. My MVP is none other than middle linebacker D'Amico Ryans. When you look at the strength of this team, it's the defense. It's the way they're playing. It's how inspired